Buffalo Sabres head coach Ralph Krueger's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Paul William Belt, your power of attorney, by Falls View Casino Resort, Niagara Falls, Canada, and by AXA Advisors. Take the next step toward your financial future today.
And we are going to the West Hur Hotline. We are joined by the Sabres head coach. Of course, they're in action tonight, as Jeremy just mentioned in the update. Ralph, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. How are you today, sir?
I'm very good. Thank you. Good morning to you, Howard and Jeremy, and to all your listeners.
I wanted to start off our conversation with something you talked about yesterday, the process that you're in, this deep process of, you know, the players learning your principles and all the teaching you guys are doing. And I don't mean for you to tell me, yeah, Howard, by game 16, it'll be in place. But what is that process like? How involved in that? And how are they coming along as you observe it as the head coach of this team?
Well, we really went through training camp in a heavy teaching process where we were splitting sessions in half so we could teach between after 30 minutes and go back on the ice. And now we're just deepening the core principles and the concepts. And every game is an opportunity for us to learn from. And we'll be doing that right through the season. And as a coach, you don't really know exactly which direction the group's going to need direction in, or where we can improve on. And it's just been so much fun working with the guys because of their involvement and their interest to actually learn and grow. And yesterday we did some very good sessions where we could take things out of the Columbus game that should make us a better team tonight. But that process, to tell you the truth, will probably never end, because we're always going to be looking for improvement. And that's our motto right now: keep the picture small, get ready for Montreal today, and think of nothing else but trying to be better tonight than we were last game.
How does the process work when you're in a pretty hectic part of the schedule? I think it's 13 games in the first 26 days. With that much activity in terms of games, is it tougher to work on all these things at practice when you're playing basically every other day?
Well, we're doing most of the learning off the ice. It's video sessions that are quick and short and to the point. But, we have footage now that we can use and discuss, and we're making sure the players have a voice in the process so we can understand what they're thinking and how they're processing everything. And I think they're used to the way we're doing it. The practices are short and sweet. Yesterday we had 30 minutes, and we will be leaving out the pregame skate today to gather energy because of the 3-6 we have at home now, and we want to keep our energy high for what the games will demand. But it's more off the ice, really, Howard, that we are doing our work right now.
When you, in terms of teaching this team and all the things you're going through, one of the things I was curious about, you said dialogue, an open dialogue. So is it, the players can certainly ask you a question about a principle you're teaching, but do they come up with suggestions? And if they do, do you listen to them as a coaching staff? Like, hey, that's a good idea, let's try this.
Well, more than anything, they've really bought into what we are as coaches working on and the way we want to go. The players are all in on that, and that hasn't really been negotiable. It's been something that through all the conversations in the summer with the players, I was able to feel what the good things were of the past to take with and where the opportunity was. So we've had those those conversations, and that dialogue was done in the summer before we set the direction. And all I can say is the players have been all in, and where you're going to end up with more individual skills and conversations would be in conversations, especially around the power play. You know, we have so much skill there, and we're working together, and it's a little more strategic as far as tactically. You can make adjustments game to game and within the five-man unit what you can do. But in the five-on-five game, it's really only about getting it right and trying to be consistent, which we lost a little bit of that in the first period against Columbus. We found our way again through the game and were able to dig a point out, which I was happy to see that. But we're still far from the finished product, which is also exciting from a coaching viewpoint.
A year ago at this time, of course you weren't here, but we were going through the excitement of getting to watch Rasmus Dahlin in year one as a Buffalo Sabre. And, you know, again, since you just got here this season, in a limited amount of time, going back to the preseason, through the practices, through the games, through the first three games, what are some of the things you've learned about Dahlin and his skill set now that you've been around him on a regular basis?
Well, first of all, like so many of the players, it's been exciting to get to know them as people. And Buffalo Sabres, we have done an excellent job in recruiting good people. So that's number one. He's very coachable, and the skills that lie within him and the potential of him is exciting for all of us. We see the offensive ability that's there, and he will be, you know, with his deception, somebody who will continually excite. But it's also what he's working on away from the puck and how he wants to participate in our team concept on the defense, and how we need to, you know, keep the chances to a minimum to have a chance to win every night, that we're excited about how hard he's working there. So it's for the fans. They love to see the puck time on a Rasmus, and that's why we're here as coaches, to work on that time when we don't have the puck and how we can get it back. And on both sides, he's been just a pleasure to work with, and what an exciting future he has.
He's also got pretty big games coming up. I mean, the return to Sweden, I would imagine he'd be really excited for that, for the global series coming up.
Yeah, I mean, we have five Swedes in our lineup, and they're all really excited about our two games against Tampa Bay at the beginning of November. And, we haven't spoken about it that much because as I've already mentioned, I don't want to repeat it too often, but we're trying to keep everything really, really tight and small and just take care of today, whatever it's asking. But Sweden is hanging in the air. We had organizational and management meetings about that for a few hours yesterday. Jason Botterill called us all together, and that's going to be a wonderful trip. And any Sabres fans that can participate in that or experience Stockholm at that time of year against Tampa Bay, our Swedes especially, will certainly be flying, and lots of tickets needed there.
Yeah. Having spent a lot of time internationally, Ralph, with regard to, you know, I think American sports fans have watched the NFL go abroad for a little bit, Mexico City, London, you know, the NBA embroiled in the China thing currently, but we've seen American sports kind of go outside of the continental U.S. When it comes to the NHL and its reception over there, what have you seen, or what do you know about it? How much it means to, whether it's Swedish fans or in Germany, the Sabres played in Germany a couple of years back, and, you know, we've just seen on and on, the leagues continue to seem to want to do this. How much does it mean to people of those countries when the NHL comes in?
Oh, it's like the World Cup of hockey, like the World Cup of football. If you look at how fans look up to that, or the European Championships, NHL in Europe at any time is, you know, the maximum for a hockey fan. They all plan their trips over here to see teams play. The NHL's followed on a daily basis by all hockey fans in Europe, and these games will be during the international break. All the leagues break in that exact weekend when we're there, and we will be the spotlight of all of European hockey, on the television over there, and or the people that can come live. So it's a very big event, and again, it's Super Bowl-like for the actual hockey fans that are able to be a part of it.
I'm trying to think. I was trying to help you out here, Ralph, for the first game in Sweden to start an all-Swedish unit, but that means one of your forwards has to be on defense, right?
Yeah, we would need to do that, but we will have some fun around that to try to get the Swedes into a good position. And once again, also let's remember we've got Finns, we've got a Latvian, we've got a Czech, and all of them will be, you know, we'll have followers coming. It's only an hour flight for all those countries to come into Stockholm. So for all the Europeans, the 10 that we have in the lineup, they're all quite excited to be going over for that trip.
The other thing I want to ask you before we let you go is Casey Mittelstadt, you know, a young center trying to find his way, coming off of his first full season, which had its ups and downs. What was your message, or is your message, to a young guy like that? You've talked about how in your system it puts a lot of pressure on the player at center, the man in the middle. So what have you told Casey to try and help his development this season?
Well, that's where also, Don Granato and now Chris Taylor at the moment filling in are working hard with him on the individual tactics that we need, and the technique to be able to defend in your own end at the speed and the pace of the National Hockey League today is a lot of hard work for the centerman. And he, again, you know, it sounds like a broken record, but very coachable young man who wants to get better every day. And we all know how exciting his offensive upside is, and we're going to continue to let that grow, and we're going to find spaces where he can use it. But without the puck is where you need to be able to play. If we go on the road and you're up against the top line of the other team, how can you defend? And he's doing really well in his development there. And, you know, it's again, it's more about our defensive concept. If we want a chance to win every night here in the National Hockey League, and as the teams, you know, the top teams develop and get warmed up into the season, we're going to have to be able to defend every night to give ourselves a real chance. We aren't a team that wants to get into run-and-gun shootouts, and we want to have some control over things. And that's where young players like Casey totally understand that need and are working hard at getting better. And it's the defensive side of the team that I'm so proud about so far after three games this season, and how little we've allowed in Pittsburgh against New Jersey. And even in Columbus the other day, they only had 11 or 12 5-on-5 really good scoring chances against us in a game where we weren't happy. So players like Casey are chipping in and working at that. I believe we have the offense to ignite up front if we can take care of our end first.
We know you got to let you go. It's game day. One of these weeks, I want to pick your brain about the Premier League. You know, I'm going to want to talk some soccer at some point.
We can have a soccer talk.
I was going to say, any
good to be back. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. It's sure good to be back in hockey. That's all.
Yeah. Any truth to my theory that there are no morning skates because soccer's on early in the morning and it gives you a chance to maybe watch some games? I mean, just saying, it fits into the schedule nicely for you.
Well, I have to tell you honestly, the Premier League players don't move the whole day, and it was something that I really looked with our sports science department at, and also when I was over in the UK, about how the players prepared for their evening games and how little energy they exerted in on game days. And you know, you can make a joke out of it, but it's not about watching the football.
No, that is interesting. You know, I know they do so much with player tracking over there, and over the, you know, 90-minute games, yeah, when you don't have any substitutions or line changes, the tracking of how far you run and you know, how just the lengths that's gone to is really fascinating.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of that here. I mean, one of the things that really surprised me positively coming into Buffalo is how excellent the staff was put together already. And I walked into a fully functioning high performance machine here, which has really helped to launch everything in the right direction. And, you know, we're very, very advanced here in our sports science and how we use it and how we're tracking the energy of the players, which is going to be important here. As you already mentioned, I think it's, you know, we've got like 11 in the next 20 days or something where you really have to manage your energy, yeah.
Well, again, thanks for your time with us this morning, Ralph. Good luck tonight against the Canadians.
Okay, all the best to the listeners, and let's go Sabres.